You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Hey, you ready to rock the place out, dude?
Ultimate hype man.
He was on fire last night.
And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Word association before we get you out of here. Eddie Johnson.
Twister.
When will we see Simon Borg taking over Snapchat and MLS?
Do you know
what Snapchat is, since winky faces are not your thing?
No, I do, and Snapchat wanted all my contacts, and I refused to give it my contacts.
Simon, you are an idiot.
We can't prove it.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on Sirius XM FC, Channel 85 and MLS Soccer. .com. Simon T's there. No Simon Borg. We went one step better. We have a bear here in the office, and we're not even scared. A research bear.
You're not scared?
No, not at all. No, you're a very.
I thought I'm a very like scary looking dude. In a good way.
It depends
on
you know. In a good way. Yeah, it depends on what dark alley I find you in. Ben, the research bear, here with us. Dave Goss, I am Andrew Wiebe. A big show for you here as we wrap up another MLS weekend, marching toward the Audi MLS Cup playoffs. They are coming up quick. There's one team in. That's the New York Red Bulls. They clinched their spot on Sunday. A big win down there in Portland. One team almost made it in, the Columbus Crew, but Orlando City snuck a goal at the very end in Chicago. We will talk to Ethan Finley of the Crew, an all-star for the first time this season. He scored a goal in that game. He's second in the league in assists, setting up Kai Kamara for slam dunks all over the place. A big season for Ethan Finley. We'll talk to him here in this first segment. We will also have a clip from an interview we did with Rancid drummer Brandon Steinekert. You may know him as a rabid RSL fan. He's the guy who wrote Believe. We have
good alliteration there, rabid, rancid.
See how I do this? Yeah. I'm on a roll today. He'll be down in the mailbag. We have the full interview as a special. That'll come out on Tuesday. It's about 35 minutes or so, right, Dave?
30 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff.
I mean, this is kind of like the story of a guy who found the league and fell in love.
I think it's a story a lot of people will feel similar with. It's not just that he's a famous drummer and that he wrote the anthem. I think that's what was fun for us, was talking about just how he got into the sport and how it started to take over his life.
Why it's special to him. Remember, Scarf Timber is still going on. Scarves Up 25 is the code there at MLSstore.com. But let's talk about the weekend here as it was before we get to Ethan Finley. A lot of big wins on this weekend, but there was big news as well. And Ben, that came in Chicago. Frank Yallop, no longer the head coach, no longer the director of soccer for the Chicago Fire. Some shuffling going on there in the organization. Brian Bliss takes over the interim. He was there in the technical side doing some of the scouting, those sorts of things, some of the player decisions. Nelson Rodriguez, who you may remember, he was a VP here at MLS, and then he moved to Chivas USA. He oversaw that project in its final year. Now, he went to U.S. Soccer after that. That was a little bit more lower profile, but doing some cool stuff there. He's now the GM there with the Fire. Let's start with the basics. What went wrong?
Not much went right, I'll tell you that much. last year, to me, last year, they didn't really have the talent to compete, and that proved in the results. They tied 18 times last year, the most ever. This year, they go out, they get some talent. Two of their three DPs that they brought in haven't really worked out.
Plus Polster, Jovan Jones.
Yeah, so they got Jovan Jones. Yeah, they go out and get Adi Yilton.
Mikey Stevens,
not worked out.
I think, was turned out. Eric Gehrig was a pretty good signing. But the DPs you're talking about, David Akam from Ghana, he's been good this season.
When he's not been injured or on international.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But when in games, he's been a dangerous guy. Kennedy Igboananike, he was, let's just say it, he was disappointing through the first two-thirds of the season. He's had a little bit of a hot spell here recently. And then the big one, Dave, Sean Maloney. I mean, this didn't work out, and we don't know yet the full story as the machinations behind the scenes, still waiting for some of those details. But that was a move that this season was really built around for the Fire, it seemed.
And I think what you saw was a guy who was supposed to be the center of everything, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't carry the team. And then coming off of that, Harry Shipp got moved out. And so you had a player who maybe was growing into that role that wasn't able to play it all season. You try and build a team around Maloney, and then he falls on his face. And it really made everything follow it. Like, I think Akam can perform out there, whether he's getting help from a guy like Maloney. But Igboananike couldn't. And so he then struggled, like you said, through those first two-thirds of the season. Now Gilberto comes in, Akam's healthy, Shipp's getting time, and all of a sudden Igboananike looks like a good MLS player. So that was the big one that hurt them. But they did find a way to transfer him out. So moving forward, it's not going to be that big a hurt because it's not like he's still on their team.
Yeah, look, you paid for him. You got the allocation money on the other end from selling him via that transfer fee. The interesting thing here is that, you know, you look at the Fire, and I think more so than the results, they're in last place in the East. There's no doubt that they've had an extremely disappointing season. This was not a good season for the Chicago Fire. But they weren't getting blown out of games. It's not like they were losing 5-0. They weren't losing 3-0. I just looked over their scores. I don't think they had one loss this year of more than two goals. A lot of one-goal defeats in there. But they just had four wins since the end of April, and that's just not going to get it done in this league. It's just not, not going to work. It's not inspiring. Nothing about their play inspired you.
And one of the issues that they had was they started leaking goals, and from an entire team, you could see the nervousness of not sure what was behind you. I broadcast their game last week. They started Ty Harden after not playing him because they just didn't know what to do. They reached a point where they had no idea, and it was all the back line. They kept saying, we feel like we can score goals. We feel like we can play with teams, but we just give up goals when we don't expect to. And they couldn't get over that. They couldn't change that. I definitely think the talent's improved from last year. I think Jovan Jones is
only
a fine.
Only one way for it to go, really.
That's true. But Jovan Jones is a fine. Mikey Stevens was a
good
signing.
Patrick Nyarko's back. That's nice for them.
Polster as a draft pick.
I like Mikey Stevens just as much as the next guy, but is he beating other players at his position? He's a fine player, but like, is he one of the top 10 at his position in MLS?
No.
So is that really good enough?
Yeah, and that's ultimately the deal. It's not been good enough for the Chicago Fire. They're now going in a different direction. We'll see what happens. Brian Bliss is an interim. Clearly, interim does not mean permanent, so we'll see if there are some more moves made by Andrew Hauptmann here in the offseason. Some wait and see. Try to finish on a high note.
Or really, Nelson Rodriguez is going to be the guy. But, I mean, you have to think there's going to be a new coach.
You have to think going forward, it's not far from – it's salvageable, right? It's not far from being a competitive team. I think if you look at center back and you look at maybe that attacking midfield, if you're not going to give the keys to ship on this team, you don't need to bring in nine players to redo this lineup. I think it's two or three starters.
You could say that about almost every team at MLS.
Probably.
But that is MLS.
But, I mean, it's going to be an interesting offseason in Chicago.
Fire fans, let us know what you think at Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. We'd love to get your thoughts in the mailbag. On Thursday, I believe we have some Fire swag to give away. Actually, I know we have two mini balls signed by Matt Polster when he was here. So if you want those, you know how to get at us. Send us an interesting email. Let's talk about the weekend real quick before we get to Ethan Finley. Let's go biggest win. There were some big ones. Seattle at Vancouver. You figure Vancouver are going to take Cascadia Cup. It didn't happen. Seattle with a dominating performance in this one. They take home Cascadia Cup. NYCFC, a second straight win. They knock off San Jose at home. Red Bulls at Portland, like I said. They clinched on the road. No Dax. No Connor Lade. Not starting Grella or Sam. I mean, this team just, they rotate and it doesn't matter. Crew beating DC. RSL over full strength LA. I mean, it's really starting to heat up now. Which of these games do you think is the most impressive? Had the most giddy up to it, let's say.
To me, it's Seattle over Vancouver. They lose Roman Torres, don't miss a beat, and they pitch a clean sheet, and then they were fighting with San Jose there for a couple weeks, but now it seems like they're not even like thinking about the red line. They're thinking about getting one of those top two spots so they can miss the knockout round.
And they win Cascadia Cup.
And they, little cherry on top.
First
right
one
there.
Since 2011, by the way. What are you doing?
I'm going to go with the depleted Red Bulls taking the victory to clinch the playoffs, but also the three games in 1 week to go from New England all the way to Portland and still get a victory. You know, everyone knows about that crowd. I don't know what Diego Chara is doing on the first goal with Felipe. Yeah. I don't know who he thinks he's supposed to be marking. I don't know what his position is.
Will Johnson, too? I mean,
But Will Johnson has someone next to him. Yeah, and Will Johnson at least communicates to Chara to say, step. And Chara goes nowhere. So yeah. I'm gonna say that was the most impressive win of the weekend.
Yeah, really nice win for the Red Bulls. By the way, a stat on that one. I think it's the first time in 6 years that a team has gone midweek from the East Coast to the West Coast on the weekend and won. That's pretty impressive stuff. I think it's RSL. You know, MLS is a crazy, crazy thing, and a team like RSL can look downright average, sometimes below average for most of the season. But, God, that was vintage Javi Moe. Burrito Martinez is starting to look really good. You got Joao Plata back and healthy, getting into form. And if Sandoval can score, wow, you never know with that. We didn't mention the Crew, but it was a big, big win for them as well. At DC United, they are on their way up. One of the men leading them is Ethan Finley. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ethan Finley with an A, 13. He's on the phone now. Ethan, how's it going, man?
Doing well. Happy to be with you guys.
Yeah, I'm sure you're pretty happy. I know you're a big Packers fan. A lot of our listeners, I'm sure, were lounging on the couch last night. How did you celebrate that one? Was that that's a fist pump one, right? You wake up some neighbors?
It was. It was pretty exciting. I actually watched, because of the late start, I watched most of the second half in bed. But I got a little bit nervous in the second half, but Rodgers and company were able to put it away.
Well, I was working last night, so I didn't get to watch the game live, which is fortunate because I was tied in my fantasy football game, and I had Eddie Lacy going. 0 points from him. I've heard, though, that you have a fantasy football team as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we got a crew team on the team, and it's a lot of fun. I do struggle some weeks. Actually, I was playing against Aaron Rodgers last night, and thankfully the guy benched him in favor of Matt Ryan. I don't know if he was doing me a favor or not.
The
but,
guy? You're not even going
to
name names on
cheer,
that?
Cheer pretty hard.
Yeah, you got to name names. Who sat Aaron Rodgers?
I can't. I'll tell you, Hector Jimenez, and I don't know, maybe he's trying to be on the good side of me or something, but he did me a favor.
Who's number one in the league right now? Who's is you know, it's early, but who's like the favorite? Who's the defending champ? Who do you got to watch out for?
Well, I'm the defending champ. I'm the self-proclaimed fantasy guru of just about all things. But so I'm looking to be 2-0. I think I've got a 33 point advantage right now on Hector. He's got Brandon Marshall going tonight. So unless he goes off, I think I've got a 2-0 start, and I'll be first in our league.
Now, what was the prize last year? What's the prize this year? What are you guys playing for here?
Or even better, what's the punishment for last place?
Oh, well, we don't really have too big of a punishment for last place, except humiliation. There used to be a, I probably can't go into any description of it, but some type of wooden tiki kind of looking doll thing that was a little embarrassing that we would stick in a guy's locker. But we actually did hand that out last year. It's actually been misplaced and has not been found, so we don't know where it is. But it's a fun time. It's good competition. It keeps the Sundays after wins like this weekend that much funner.
A big win, of course, for you guys this weekend. DC United kind of in a tailspin. You guys are on the other way up. You're doing really well right now, and on the road as well. That was something that you guys struggled with a little bit, but you didn't get into the playoffs because Orlando gets a result this weekend.
You're not in yet.
Not yet. Not yet. Did you guys watch that Orlando game? Were you following it after you win in DC? Or are you thinking, okay, we're going to be the first team to get in?
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely aware of it. I think it's something, you know, it's great security, but we feel good with where we're at. You know, we got the 3 points, and, you know, I think I didn't necessarily expect Orlando to win, but I thought, you know, with their lineup and with the way things are going in Chicago, you know, we knew that we had to take care of business first and foremost, and that's what we did, and we have another opportunity, obviously, this weekend to secure that spot, and we hope to do so.
You guys started the season so hot. Then there was a slower spell as the summer began. Now you guys are back and rolling again, pushing towards the top of the East. What was the spark to turn this thing back around to push you guys as, I think, both of us consider MLS Cup contenders?
You know, I think once we got some of the new guys, the new signings in and into the system and started to settle down, I think everyone felt we had a very, very deep team. And I think that confidence in each guy each week started to increase. And when there's competition amongst guys and positions, it brings out the best in players. I think we've seen that. You know, bringing in a guy like Jack has pushed, you know, Kai to continue to go forward and want to stay in the game. And obviously, you know, he's answered that call. And guys like Cedric have elevated Justin Miram's game and myself. So when you add some of those offensive pieces, you know, we've had that competition and that, you know, desire to want to compete and have success has increased over this time. And then obviously defensively, we've really shored up at the back with adding some players, and then just the ability for guys to step in like this last weekend with Chris Lutie coming in at left back and for an injured Waylon Francis and playing in great for us. So, you know, it's those kind of things that you need down the stretch, guys to step up all throughout the team, and that's what we've had. So hopefully we keep that rolling into the playoffs.
From your experience now being in the league for a little while, when guys come in the summer, because that's when a lot of the big signings tend to come in, is it possible to see the best of those players in their first year? If when you see another team, do you think, okay, it's going to take them a little while to get this going?
It is possible. I think, you know, I look back at when Federico showed up here, his impact immediately was great. But what I think is most important is just him getting settled in and getting comfortable with the team and show something. And a guy like Cedric has done that. You know, unfortunately, Gaston had a short first appearance, but I can just tell you from, you know, being in training with him, he's definitely going to fit well with what we're trying to do and into what this this team and the system is all about. So saying that, I think our staff have done a really nice job at finding guys and putting those pieces in at the right time and making sure that it's a good fit for both parties, the player as well as the club.
Now, Kai Kamara had time to get comfortable. It was kind of a strange entrance for him. Well, re-entrance, I should say, for Crew SC. He comes in at the end of the year. He can't play because of all the transfer stuff. He trains, and then this year, I mean, he's absolutely an alpha dog. I mean, this guy has taken over MLS. He's been absolutely unstoppable. When you watch him play this year, I mean, there's got to be times where you're just throwing up your hands and saying, there's no way he gets that ball at the back post. There's no way he beats that guy to that touch and scores. He seems to do it every single game.
He does. I think, you know, he's a little bit older than he was when he was last in the league, but I think he's re-energized. I think the system that we're playing here took some time, I think, for him to get adjusted to during the preseason. But once he's gotten comfortable in it, you've seen that he's been flourishing underneath it. And a lot of our success has really, you know, started with teams having to respect him. And when they respect him, we exploit him in other areas. And then he still is able to make movements and make those spectacular plays when he's one-on-one or 2v2. But it's been great for Crew SC. It's been great for him. And I'm extremely happy for his success because I know coming back here after – maybe not having as successful of a stint that he had hoped in England, to come back here and really cement himself as a top player in this league, if not the top player, you know, for me, you know, it's pretty special. So we're definitely happy to have him.
Look around the league a little bit, Ethan. I'm trying to think of guys that can match up physically with Kai, whether it's in the air or 1v1. I'm having trouble doing it. You're on the field with these guys. Is there anybody out there that you look at and say, you know what, maybe they might be able to match him physically?
Yeah, I don't know if there is. And the reason is that, you know, I don't want to compare him to LeBron James, but it's kind of a similar comparison. You know, there's guys that are as big as LeBron, but they're not guys that are as fast as LeBron. And that's, you know, something that Kai has. He's big, he's fast, and he's probably the most athletic player in this league, and so he's just a freak. And then you give, you know, the ability that he has, you know, with the ball at his feet. He's shown at times this year that he can make some stuff happen in front of goal by himself, get his own shot off. It's those little, you know, technical aspects of the game that really make him a complete elite player. And so that's what I think is special about him. You know, when you add that athletic talent and that freakish athleticism that he has. With the skill, it makes for a deadly product.
And you guys together, sticking with your basketball analogy, you're like Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire right now. You throw it up for him, he puts it down. You're leading the team in assists, second in the league. Do the fans have a chant for you when you get an assist? Is there a special assist chant?
You know, I haven't heard it yet. I don't know, maybe the Nordecki is working on that. But, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to make plays, create chances for our team, and been fortunate that Kai's been on the end of several of those, and a couple other guys. So, been a little slow with helpers as of late, but you know, not short of creating any chances, and that's what's encouraging to me. So, hopefully, I can continue to create chances, and some of these guys will get on the end of them, and we'll start connecting on some assists and goals.
Well, hey, you got a goal yourself against DC United. A nice little turn around in the box. And I saw a stat on there. I think you're the seventh player in Crew history to hit 20 and 20, 20 goals and 20 assists. I mean, that's a pretty incredible stat. That has to be something that feels pretty special to you.
It does. You know, when our PR guy gave me that at the end of the game, I thought that was pretty neat. And You know, you talk about the other six guys. That's in a pretty elite category. A couple national team guys, guys that are not only going to go into the Crew Hall of Fame, but will go into an MLS Hall of Fame. So at some point, so that's a pretty special you know, group to be a part of. And you know, I just want to continue to have success. You know, with the club, and you know, they've been very good to me, and I'm very thankful for that, for their opportunity that I've been given, and to be able to return them with 20 goals and 20 assists is pretty great, and I hope I can keep that going.
For you, it took a little while to get into the starting lineup in your career. Now, over the past 2 years, you've made huge strides. What's next for you? What are you working on in your game, and maybe what are the steps in your career that you're looking at?
You know, what's next to me is continuing to be a complete player. I think I need to get better in some 1v1 situations at being a little bit more assertive and taking guys on, being able to go right and left. And then you know, cleaner first touches in and around the box. It's something I can definitely get better at. These tight spaces are extremely important, especially at the international level, as well as in leagues in Europe. And I have aspirations to play at the highest level at some point. I'm obviously very happy here with the Columbus Crew SC right now. But I think every player wants to reach the pinnacle of their career. And I try to set my sights high. But you know, there's a lot for me to still work on. There's a lot of time, and I still feel like I'm a pretty young player at, you know, just turning 25. So I'm excited about, you know, what I have going forward and what I can offer and what this team can offer going forward.
Ethan, have you had teams sniffing around you and kind of following up on international teams, I should say, like, you know, in Europe or wherever it may be, and to follow up on kind of your point about international side, there was all this talk about Canada and the U.S. I mean, it's open and closed now, right? It's the U.S. You never had Canadian citizenship, did you? Maybe can you explain to us on that, what happened with that? That was confusing.
Yeah, so, you know, I can explain that there was a possibility that I could have gotten Canadian citizenship. We went down that avenue. Canadian Federation looked into it. They came back with the news that that was not a possibility, and so, you know, no decision had to be made from me, you know, obviously at that point. And so, you know, that's where that stands. And you know, it, obviously, like I always said, I was always going to look into any possibility. And see, it wasn't that I had made a decision or I was asked even to make a decision to play for Canada or for the United States. But it was definitely something that, you know, we did look into. And, you know, as I said before, I don't have a Canadian passport, wasn't able to acquire one. And so that kind of thing. And, you know, for me, worried about what the Columbus Crew SC is doing and what we're doing here, because, you know, that's what I'm a part of. That's the only thing I'm a part of right now. If I ever become a part of a national team system, I will be more than willing to answer more questions about it. But, you know, at this point, I can't really say anything else because there's nothing to tell you.
That's fair. That's fair, man. Well, look, before we get you out of here, we had Bobby Boswell in studio the other day, and he echoed something that I've heard in a lot of MLS circles before, and that is that Columbus is MLS's version of Las Vegas. I want to know your take on that. Do you have other guys calling you before they hit the city on road trips? What do you guys think of that? Well, as guys who live in the city,
I think he's having a laugh with you guys right now.
No, man, he is not the only one who's told me that.
Really? Yeah, you know, Columbus is it's unique. You know, the city's been good to me. I'm from the Midwest. It's a decent city. I know it, sometimes it gets flack for being so small and nothing to do. But if you like certain things, I mean, the food here is incredible. You know, the nightlife is better, I think, than people give it credit for. You got OSU and a lot of young professionals here, so it's a nice place to be. I can't complain. I like it. I don't know if it's anyone on Las Vegas level, but I don't know.
You mentioned your Midwest roots. I got to ask one last question before you let you go. I'm calling your Creighton men's soccer team coming up this week. You guys are number one in the nation. How's that feel?
It feels great. Honestly, what Omar Bolowicz and Johnny Torres, what they've been able to do, has been nothing short of spectacular because, you know, after my year, I know that I thought it was going to be tough, you know, recruiting-wise and where they were going to go. We were down a lot of underclassmen. They hadn't done maybe a great job recruiting. We lost a bunch of players that year, and the following year they went back to the Final Four. So it says a lot about, you know, their ability to get the best out of players at the collegiate level, and Elmar's been doing that for a long time. So not surprised this year that after having a really good team last year that they're even better this year. Fully expect them to be in the Final Four, and you know, they're number one right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're the overall number one seed at the end of the year, just the way they're playing. I've been able to catch a couple games on online, and the way they're playing is really well. It's really good soccer, so enjoy calling that game. Who are they playing? I don't know exactly.
They're playing Seton Hall in their Big East opener, I think. But is there any trash talk in the locker room with the different different alumni of all the different schools?
Yeah, you know what? There is. And it comes a little bit more at the end of the year when you when your teams are either playing each other or they're you know, might be facing each other in a conference tournament. There's definitely pride. I mean, I'll tell you, we got a couple of Akron guys. We got a couple of Cal Berkeley guys and Hector and Tyson Wall. So there's definitely a strong tie still to their schools. And, you know, it's always fun to see them on the schedule and see them play someone that you're one of your teammates, their alma mater. So there's been a couple side bets here and there. I don't want to go any farther into that, but there's been some sore feelings after some of those games, even though they weren't involved in them.
There you go. A standout at Creighton, a rising star in MLS with Columbus Crew SC, Ethan Finley. Follow him on Twitter, at Ethan Finley with an A13. Ethan, thanks so much for joining us, man. Good luck with that that fantasy league, and good luck with the upcoming playoffs.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care. Have a great one.
Big thanks to Ethan Finley for joining us here. Interesting stuff there. I think January, if the U.S. national team call-up is going
call
to happen
up. Do
anytime
it.
Soon. Yeah, I mean, he's
Jurgen, I know you listen. We get a tweet from you every week. Come on, call him up.
Yeah, all those parody accounts hitting us up. Let us know what you think at Extra Time Radio, extratimeatmlssoccer.com. When we come back, we'll go over the rest of the weekend, plus Rancid's Brandon Seinekert.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
سلام، این سیون بیتاشو هست از ونکوور وایت کپ و تیم ملی. شما دارید گوش میکنید به اکسترا تایم رادیو.
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things I haven't done.
Back now on Extra Time Radio.
Yeah.
One thing David Goss hasn't done, or well, I guess he has done, is bail on his teammates for Alexander Hamilton. Sometimes I regret giving you the keys to the DJ booth. This time, no, I actually want to go see Hamilton. Good call there, Dave.
Yeah. Buy your ticket. It's cool. You'll go in May.
Maybe a little more cultured? Go in May. Okay.
Seriously, right. That's how far.
Next season, middle of the MLS campaign, right when the transfer window opens. Finally into Alexander Hamilton. Let's jump into the rest of the weekend, though. Plenty more to talk about. We got a little bit of a taste in that first segment. But let's start on Friday night, Viernes de Football. Sporting KC hosting FC Dallas. This really was a must-win game for them in the sense that they had to stop this slide. There was the Weeby curse, so to speak. You know, it's funny. That actually got some play in Kansas City on local radio stations. People were talking about the Weeby curse, which
ooh,
I found
local
hilarious.
You're so cool
hilarious.
Right now.
Hilarious. Yeah, thank you. I need to come with that. But Dallas came out here and they sat what? They sat Fabian Castillo, no Blas Perez.
They
it was
came
a
out
team.
Five in the back.
Yeah, they came out trying to muck this game up, and Sporting Kansas City didn't allow them to do it. 3-1, Benny Feilhaber steals the show.
Yeah, you know, he's that's why he's a top two or three MVP candidate guy. Just shows up. Dallas has done this in the past where they when they go on the road, they want to just like get the draw and get out of there. But, yeah, Benny's too good.
It didn't work out for him on this one. They'll not be too worried about, though, right, Dave? I mean, they're up there at the top. What do you make of, though, that strategy this late in the season? Are you cool with that? Do you say, look, we're just going to hope on the road and try to get a point? We know Kansas City is scuffling a little bit. If we can escape 1-1 or, you know, maybe grab a win.
My issue with it is they're in the running for Supporter Shield. Right, so from a playoff point of view, it's not going to hurt them. They're going to make the playoffs. Maybe he feels like he has to rest guys. but you're giving up opportunities to push for a trophy, right? If they win that game, they're in first in the league, mm-hmm. and they have a game in hand with on Vancouver, who's just ahead of them.
And they play Vancouver twice.
So, exactly. Which, and it's a, that's a matchup that I love watching.
Boy.
Yeah, two
back,
more times.
Back-to-back Wednesdays.
So that's the issue there for me, is you're giving up that opportunity, you're prioritizing one. There's very few opportunities for teams to win trophies. You got to take advantage of all the ones that you can. They already had a slide this season, and yet they're still in that situation. So that's a little, that would be a little upsetting to me if I'm a Dallas fan.
Moving on, the Impact breaking a streak, the Revs streak. They were 8 unbeaten. 7 of those 8 were wins, I believe. They go to Montreal. Drogba and co, they handle the business. Piatti was back in this one. You know, Montreal, they're starting to look like a team that can do a lot of damage, and they've got a lot of time to get things together. I mean, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I took a look, Ben, today at the expansion teams and what they need to do over the course of the end of the season to have a chance here, because really it's Toronto and Montreal. They need Toronto and Montreal to just dive off a cliff, and they basically have to win all 4 games. If I'm a team in the East and I'm looking at the playoffs, and you know, you figure Montreal's not going to be in one of the bye games, they're just that'd be a little bit too much for them, a little too much of a busy schedule. That's a terrifying team come playoff time, no?
I mean, it is, but then you're also got to think, so they're going to go either to New England or Columbus. Those teams are very good at home, and it's going to be tough for them to go there, get a win on a short. I mean, they're going to go there on a Wednesday or a Thursday after playing the weekend on the Sunday. 2 days to prepare. They're good, but I don't know. It's going to be tough.
They also have some pieces. I mean, specifically, I'm talking about Drogba, but a little bit older. So the short turnaround.
And that's what I'm wondering. How does – you saw Mauro Biello. You saw that – you know, he was so pragmatic to go to the West Coast and say, you know what, at San Jose, we're going to kind of do – you know, and we just kind of ripped up Oscar Pareja for doing that. I think the difference being Pareja's in the running for a supporter's shield. But to have that pragmatism to say, okay, go home – we'll prioritize this game and get that result. If you're a guy in that locker room right now, you're thinking Biello knows what he's doing. And that's a good sign for them.
And I think also, and we talked about this a little bit last week, he also showed a belief in some other guys, right? So guys who weren't playing under Klopas, new coach comes in, you get the opportunity, you get a result at San Jose. And now everyone, I think, feels more part of it and feels like they have the opportunity to contribute going down the stretch.
Yeah, you start to feel that little bit of a groundswell. It'll be interesting to see how they handle these last stretch run here.
It has, since Drogba's come in, you had the loss to Philly. I think since then it's been a dream of just great crowds, wins, results on the road.
Draws on the road, wins at home. I should definitely know. I mean, there's a very good chance they lock up the 6 seed or the 5 seed before the last weekend. They could sit Drogba that last game against Toronto.
Yeah, that's a good point. Toronto with a big win this weekend as well. Colorado comes to BMO Field. They leave with nada. That's because Giovinco did his thing. 2 goals in this one. Deferential respect, you might want to call it, from the Rapids. I mean, I thought their thing was defense this year. They don't really have much else, to be honest with you. And then you're just going to let Giovinco drive down Route A right to the goal. I mean, this was self-inflicted in a lot of ways. Great performance by Toronto, but ultimately you got to do better against what I think is the MVP of this league.
Yeah, you have to stick to him, right? You can't give him openings. You have to make it a point where when you play Toronto from here on out, someone else has to beat you.
Giovinco cannot beat you.
He has to be the one guy that you say, yeah, Josie will get 1v1 opportunities, or Bradley will get
that
rushes into
run,
the box.
Yeah.
But I can't let a known quantity in Giovinco beat me.
I mean,
here's the interesting thing I found from this game. Greg Vanney, he's latched onto a new motivational tactic. Apparently there was some column written up there in Ontario questioning the desire of the team. You saw Damien Perquis after his goal. He was screaming at the columnist in the press box. He was screaming at people in the locker room. Greg Vanney, I mean, this is a classic motivational ploy, right? I mean, he latched onto this thing and he's got this team riled up.
Yeah, I mean, it's us against them, I guess. That's what he's going with. Or the nobody believes in us theory.
Oh, yes.
Which I don't think is far off, because this is a Jekyll and Hyde team, if there is one in MLS. If you have no idea what you're going to get from them. And in terms of toughness or grit, I mean, do they have an identity there?
No.
Right? They don't have a one guy also who's the physical. I mean, Josie Altidore is as physically imposing a human being as there is on this continent. But
Michael
he's
Bradley
not.
As intense a player as it.
True, but I guess Bradley's that one.
But you haven't really seen that always translate over to the field and to performances. It's not like that grit and that determination that we've seen from those guys, or we assume that they have, has always shown up and rubbed off on the rest of the group. Maybe this is a turning point. Who knows? A big win for them at home nonetheless. They'll really camp out there for the rest of the season at BMO Field. They've got to be feeling pretty confident through the rest of the way, especially if Jovinko plays like this. NYCFC, as I said, they need a miracle, Ben. San Jose, they had an opportunity, and let's be honest, they've blown so far that opportunity.
NYCFC, I'm going to say right now, they're not making the playoffs, so I'm not really going to need to talk about them.
Oh.
So, but San Jose, man. They really blew it. I mean, they had three straight home games. Yep. They get 2 points from them.
How long have we been talking about on this show, both with them and Toronto? Well, you know home what? Games. Just home stay games. There. Stay yeah. there. Stay there, because at the end of the season, you've got home games. And yeah. You'll do it at home. You'll get the points at home.
I mean, the good thing for them is they still have three more games at home, but they have not shown the ability to get the points at home.
Right.
So, like, why? I mean, Portland's floundering a little bit. So they're still in it, but I would take RSL over them right now.
All right, so that was going to be my question. RSL or San Jose, of the two teams out trying to fight their way back in, you think San Jose has RSL has the better chance?
I mean, the game this weekend is going to be huge. RSL. RSL's going to San Jose.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that game stays in the playoff race. Loser, probably.
And on the flip side, Portland heading to Columbus, Columbus needing to win to clinch. I think there's an opportunity that the winner of that team coming out of this weekend will be in sixth place in the Western Conference. And I just think from a mental point of view, to see your name there that with this time left, I think would be huge.
Yeah, we kind of glossed over RSL LA. I mean, I mentioned I think for me it was the biggest win, because RSL's ceiling, in my opinion, maybe not strictly from, you know, a back-to-front standpoint, because I still have questions marks about that back line sometimes. I mean, Allen had a great game at right back, but you never know what you're going to get from him. He's still a young player. Olave on the back end still has injury issues. Aaron Mond, who knows? But that front four, when they're on and Devin Sandoval finds his nose in front of goal, I mean, I think they're a more experienced, better team and have a better chance of going far in the playoffs than either San Jose or Portland
For
do.
Burritos, I mean, he looks dangerous every single time he touches the ball.
He was impossible to contain on this game. That team finding something here. They're in a good position. If you look at the standings, yes, they are in eighth. They have a game in hand, though, on San Jose. If they win this game this weekend against San Jose, 41 points from 30 games. The Timbers, you figure at home against the Crew, that's a tough slog. Real Salt Lake could jump them both.
One of the things we haven't mentioned a lot this year, there's a few teams that are missing guys that say if we had so-and-so.
The classic.
Chris Schuler, though, I think might be one of the biggest misses of the year. I mean, he's a guy who, at his best, has the potential to be a U.S. national team defender. And he's constantly injured.
He's always injured.
But that's the position.
That's a skill. Being
healthy.
Being healthy is a skill.
It's definitely a skill. And I don't know if you guys read this story the other day, but there was a Borchers feature in the Portland newspaper. Kyle Beckerman was quoted in that saying that that's turning out to be basically the worst move RSL has ever made. Think about Borchers and Olave back there. That extra guy, that veteran presence. Could be a little bit of a different season for RSL in that sense. Philly, 2-0 wins against Houston. Houston is the team chasing all these teams out there in the West. It feels like, to me, they're not going to get there. They just don't have the attacking punch right now.
They should truly threaten.
What? I mean, and here's the question. I was talking about this with a few people on Twitter. Giles Barnes, the beginning of the season, I said, and I stick to this, at that point in the season, that he was with him and Fabian Castillo, the two most exciting players to watch in the league at that time. He's basically produced nothing since leaving for Copa America. Is this just an acclimation process of, oh boy, now I'm an international player. I have to go down to Chile. Then I have to do the Gold Cup. We advance.
Well, they ran him into the ground.
Yeah, I mean,
he's tired.
He shouldn't. I love international play. I love international soccer, and I think it was a great opportunity for Jamaica. I think a lot of their success in the Gold Cup came from the amount of time they were together at Copa America. You can't play people two tournaments in a row, though.
World Cup qualifying, where they had to come in earlier than the U.S.
And play those two legs.
Yep.
And the U.S., when they played in Copa America in 2007, which is why we're not invited back anymore, we sent B, arguably C team down there, because we also had Gold Cup. We had the U-20 World Cup going on at the same time. You can't send these players to every tournament because then they can't function on their club team. And that's what it is. I've been waiting for Barnes to come back. I thought this team was ready to go. And unfortunately, he just hasn't had the punch.
The attack's been anemic.
Yeah, it's tough. Look,
for a couple of weeks now.
You've got Bonilla Garcia on the downside, I think, of his career. I think you can say that now. You know, Brad Davis struggling to create things with this group. The big question going forward for them is how do they fit all those parts together? You have Barnes, you have Torres, you have Bruin, and then those wide players. Is that enough? How do they fit? That's definitely they got to figure out.
For the rest
out.
Of the season, I would definitely try some experiments if I was on Colo. I mean, I don't think you're making the playoffs, and you got to figure out how to fit all these guys on the field and make it work.
Home game,
or maybe they don't.
Yep, home game against Colorado coming up this weekend, so there's a chance for 3 points from them on that. Let's look a little bit at the midweek game, guys. Some stuff in MLS here. Montreal hosting Chicago. That should be a good one in the sense that Montreal really trying to climb the charts. We'll see how Chicago responds under Brian Bliss.
We saw from Montreal the bounce after losing your coach. It's something you see a lot. It's just a shock to a locker room. What's happening won't be accepted. And I think players wake up and go, we're fighting for our jobs as well here. Right. So you probably are going to see a scrappy Chicago team against a talented Montreal team.
Yeah, Houston hosting Sporting KC in midweek. You mentioned it there. What will they go out with that lineup? They really need points if they don't get them.
What does KC do? Because KC has a U.S. Open Cup in a week.
Yep, that's a big question. Then they have Seattle at home, coming up at home as well. So it's not an easy roster shuffle right now. For Peter Vermees, I think it will be a struggle. They're going to have to do some prioritization because their spot out west is not exactly locked in stone either. Still a lot to be decided. Let's talk CCL, though. That's the big one. I don't think we're going to talk LA. I don't think we're going to talk DC. Both of those teams going down to the Caribbean.
And a tip of hat to them, not in a negative way.
Yeah,
because
they don't really have anything to worry about right now. You figure they're probably either going to get a result, and if they don't, they've already done their business for the most part. The big one, though, Ben, Seattle hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps, 10 p.m. on Wednesday, Fox Sports 2. This could be the one that decides that group there in CCL play.
If you're an MLS fan, if you're a general MLS fan, I hope you're watching this game. But I also hope that you're rooting for one of these teams to win. That's really what matters because that would box out Olympia from being able to advance. I mean, if you're a Seattle fan, you're rooting for Seattle, Vancouver. But if you're an MLS fan, you just want somebody to win. No draws.
Push Olympia out of this thing. Interesting because these two teams meet again. Now they're heading down the highway there to Seattle.
And that's how it was last time?
Yeah.
They played midweek and then they played again for CCL and then they played again
on the weekend. It's going to build up some – you hear Portland-Seattle get all that talk, but right now Seattle-Vancouver having a little bit more of the marquee matchups there, probably because Vancouver's at the top of the league. I think these two teams, like you said, one of them has to get through because both those teams have a great chance from MLS terms advancing. Let us know what you think here about the weekend that was and the midweek that's coming up. We'll be back around on Thursday to discuss all that at Extra Time Radio, extratimeatmlssoccer.com. Stick around. When we come back, Rancid drummer Brandon Steinekert.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is DF14, and you are listening to Extra Time. Is it Extra Time Radio?
Here at the Riot, the battle hymn's begun. We're here for RSL. So if you believe, then just stand up on your feet and shout it loud.
Back on Extra Time Radio. Andrew Wiebe here, Dave Goss at my side, along with Rancid's Brandon Steinekert. What's up, man? We're getting lucky these days. We're getting a lot of cool people in the office. Appreciate you showing up.
Of course. I appreciate you guys having me. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, big RSL fan. If you didn't know, of course, wrote the Believe RSL song. We'll get into that in just a second. But what brings you to New York? Tour, I'm assuming?
Yeah. I'm actually here with my band, Rancid. We're just in the middle of a little East Coast run right now and playing two nights at Terminal 5. So it's going to be a good time. We're here with our friends H2O, which is like awesome, New York hardcore band we all know and love for years. And then our friends The Interrupters are here as well with us. So looking forward to that.
So the music is great. We like that part. But, of course, you're here for the soccer, for the beautiful game.
Oh, if anytime you can mix the two, it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm on tour – if I'm in a city with a club and a team and I have a day off or there's a matinee game or something, I'm there. You know, whether I'm a fan of that team or not, it's just fun to go out to games any chance I get to go, you know. So
we'll figure out how you get the game while you're on tour. I'm sure it's a balancing act, some Twitter here, MLS Live there. But let's start at the beginning, man. When did soccer become something that you felt passionate about? What's your kind of your genesis story, so to speak?
You know, it's always almost borderline, I dare say, embarrassing in the way that I'm late to the game, man. Like,
that's fine.
So many people like grew up playing or have some backstory and all this stuff. For me, it was basically joining Rancid that did it. You know, Lars Fredriksson, our guitarist slash singer, has been a huge fan of the game for many years. You know, he lived in England for quite a while. And my first tour when I joined the band in 2006 was with them in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't my first time over there. I'd been plenty of times with my former band, The Used, but it was like a totally different experience because the culture with this band and our friends out there and stuff like that. It's very deeply rooted in the game out there, you know, and a lot of our friends, you know, are diehard Millwall fans and different clubs out there.
You
know what I mean? So it's like, that was kind of it was like baptism under fire, you know, that was some of my first exposure to it. And then in 2007, we had some time off and Lars was like, hey, let's go check out a Real Salt Lake game. And I'm embarrassed to say, but I had never even heard of Real Salt Lake. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
And he's like, that's a soccer team in Utah.
But you got you got the culture of yes, so you're going. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever. Let's I'll try it. And I was like, you know, my best friend Spike and I were like, all right, I guess we'll go. But like, okay, we didn't know what to expect. weren't that excited. I'll be honest.
Man,
sports, you know, I grew up as this skater punk kid and like, to me, sports was like something I associated with like these jocks that wanted to beat me up growing up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It
was like very narrow-minded of me. But we went to the game and during warm-up, Lars was telling me a little bit about the club and the players that he knew a little bit about. I mean, he's a Quakes fan. You know, he is from the East Bay and that area, you know, mm-hmm. grew up in Campbell. And But he's telling me, you know, about Eddie Pope and Kyle Beckerman and all this stuff. And at the time, we were playing at Rice Eccles Stadium at the university. So this was one of those games that, like, right at the whistle, they're just coming in hot. You know what I mean? And it was awesome. And so we're out of our feet. And there wasn't a huge crowd, you know. This is when the team's 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And it's not a great atmosphere.
Yeah, and we were a losing team back then. You didn't go to a game expecting to win.
Right.
You went to a game because you loved the club. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to a game because it was the cool place to be. You went because you loved the club. So it was rad to be there, and you're surrounded by basically like the most hardcore and diehard fans of this brand new club that was just building and not winning, you know? And so to just catch on to that energy right away and that addiction of it and just the thrill. And it was one of those games. It was like the 87th minute we scored and there was like 4 minutes of stoppage and it just felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
And me and Spike were just losing it. Like, oh, come on. You know, like you would have thought it meant it was a cup game or something.
Yeah.
But
you guys would have been there for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, we're newcomers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was crazy how like, caught up in it, we instantly were. And then my friend is a good friend of mine now, Brent, who works with a lot of supporters groups and ticket sales over at RSL. He calls me up the next day doing his job just simply to follow up with the guy bought tickets. And he's like, how'd you like the game, man? You want to come out to another one? I'm like, dude, I loved it. Like, yes, sign me up.
Nice.
When's the next one? So I go to the next game. After that, bought season tickets, and I've been a season ticket holder ever since. You know, it was like a full-fledged addiction born that day, you know.
Big thanks to Brandon for joining us here in studio. Always fun when we get guys in here. We do have mini balls that we made him sign. That's basically our scam. You come in here and do it, we get prizes for the fans out there. So
also,
RSL fans, Rancid fans, whoever you might be, if you want one of those, email, tweet, you know how to get at us.
Also, the full interview will be coming out tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
good point.
Tuesday.
ETR special, fully with Brandon Steinecker. It's good stuff.
Yeah, we have, you know, how the Believe chant came about, how he became a fan, a lot more about that, a lot about Salt Lake City in general, and now He's done some work with some USMNT players.
Yeah, basically being on the road, being a rock star, and being an MLS fan. How does he balance all of them? And he's definitely a fan. There's no doubt about that.
He goes, hey, I'm just a normal fan. And then he talks about how he gave some gifts to a few, like Brad Guzan and a few national team players.
My boy Kyle Beckerman.
I'm a pretty normal fan. I'm not friends with any of the guys on the team.
Let's jump into the mailbag. Doug Ely, he says he's an RSL fan. We asked which club, not the Galaxy, should win MLS Cup. He says it's the Columbus Crew. He says they have the best backstory. They don't get a ton of press. They're led by a former refugee who started as a bus. That'd be Kai Kamara. He says it's Hollywood movie stuff. Were you here for that show?
I was here for that show.
What team? Here was the question. Outside the Galaxy, what team, if you're just like dreaming up a parallel universe, best story, best for MLS, best for general MLS fans, what would it be?
I'm going to be a sap and go with the Red Bulls. They fire the coach. It was all that turmoil. They bring in a guy. Fans don't know what to think about it. They play as a team. It's awesome. They bring in a new guy. Guy just plays, and he plays well. And it's a great story to me.
Yeah, it is a good
story.
Plus,
you have two brothers. That's always fun. I'm going to say Vancouver when you're talking about the like what's good for the league type stuff. First Canadian team to win it would be exciting. On top of that, a team that's based in young attacking talent that's, I think, is key for this league, bringing in good South Americans that are young and capable of furthering their career even more, developing Mane Robinson, a guy who played in MLS, came in as an assistant in MLS, and now is a head coach. So I'm going to go with the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah, good one. Any more of those that you have, let us know. We'd love to hear what
you
think.
The Rapids would be a good one, too, or Chicago Fire, considering it's like, can't happen. That'd be a miracle.
Yeah, they got to get there first. A long way to go for those. Austin Long emails in. He's talking about the scarves versus jersey debate. When you want to get a souvenir, which one do you go with? He says in his younger years, when he had more money, he went with jerseys. But now that he's older and not single, married with family, he had to make a decision. He went with scarves. He says, I am spot on with this one. Packable and iconic. He gets one for every MLS stadium he goes to. He's been to 6 so far. And he's got an ASL scarf, USL scarves, MPSL, plus some college stuff. He says he just needs an Atlanta United FC to fill things out. So I don't think we have any Atlanta United ones over there, but we have something, don't we?
We have a few scarves.
We got some scarves.
I'll shoot him an email and ask him which one of the ones we have that he would prefer.
Oh, there you go. You got some choices, Austin. Congratulations.
I'm a big scarf guy as well. I like them. Jersey. How often am I wearing a jersey?
Yeah, that's the big
question. So you got the money, and it's not something I use. Scarves, I like to decorate with them as well. By the way, you mentioned it. USL playoffs coming up this weekend.
USL playoffs are coming up this weekend. We're figuring out the seeding going there. Yeah. Also this week that we haven't mentioned so far that we really, really should, 24 under 24. MLS's countdown of the best young players in the league. It's a really great series. It's a ton of work. Matt, the Armchair Analyst Doyle, putting all that together on our site here at MLSsoccer.com this year. He's done some really cool stuff. You really ought to check it out. Good. A little teaser. We have the comprehensive Quadwupoku feature that Simon is just absolutely giddy about.
The list drops 2 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. You'll see some surprising names, some not-so-surprising names, but it's going to be fun for you fans to see who us experts decided to pick.
Yeah, we'll see. We have people from ESPN, RDS, Fox Sports, I believe. Also, the MLS nerds here that occupy the MLSsoccer.com digital space as well. That's all we have for today. We ran out of time here. A couple emails we didn't get to. One titled, Gas, You're an Idiot. Another titled, Why Do You Hate Seattle? Well, we'll leave those
Let's get there on
for
Thursday.
Another day. That'd be Thursday, Friday, if you're listening on Sirius. We'll see you around next time.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.